Proverbs chapters 8 and 9, we read of wisdom crying, of the voice of wisdom, of what wisdom says and what wisdom does. Wisdom being a picture, a figure of Christ himself. Chapter 9, we read, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. There is none wise but God. There is none who are truly wise but God. Which is why Chapter 8 of Proverbs, that speaks of wisdom crying, and the speech of wisdom is a picture of Christ, the Son of God, and his wisdom. Christ came into this world for the salvation of his people, his bride, the church, as figured by Adam and Eve. His bride. He came for the salvation of his people, and in saving that people, in laying down his life for that people, in delivering that people of their sins, in washing them clean, in washing his bride clean, his church clean, in making her perfect in him, he gave unto her all that he is. He gave unto her righteousness. He gave unto her wisdom. And in chapter 9 of Proverbs, we read of wisdom building her house. Here it's not just Christ God who is wise, but his bride is wise. And wisdom builds her house. And out of the house of God, out of the church, out from the bride of Christ, goes forth his message and his wisdom. He preaches his gospel through his bride, through the church, to this world. And through it he builds his house. She's hewn out her seven pillars, perfect. She's killed her beasts. She's mingled her wine. She's furnished her table. She sent forth her maiden. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. She shouts out to this world, here is wisdom in the church, in Christ. Here is wisdom. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Come here. Come here and listen. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Come to the banqueting table of the gospel. Come to the bread and the wine. Come to the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. The body broken, the blood shed for sinners. Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. If you will drink of this wine and eat of this bread, you will live. the wisdom from the bride, from her bridegroom, declares in the gospel to this foolish and this wicked world that if you will live, you will find life only in this bread and this wine in Christ. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. The scornful, the wicked, mock the church. They mock Christ. They laugh at the bread. They laugh at the wine. They trample it underfoot. They've got no time for these things. They want to eat, drink, and be merry with the food and the wine of this world, which lasts a moment and leads them unto death and carries them away in the darkness. The fools that they are. They laugh and they scorn and they mock. And if you reprove them, if you correct them, they're just hardened. O you who mock and scorn the gospel, should I reprove you, you will be hardened. You hate all the more. You laugh all the more. You shut your ears all the more. You turn aside all the more. You go off in your folly. You will not listen. Because the wisdom of God is foolishness to you. As Paul picks up in Corinthians, it's foolish. The preaching of the cross, the preaching of the bread and the wine, which are spoken of here in Proverbs, prophesied long before the coming of Christ, finding their fulfillment in the death and the resurrection of Christ, the preaching of the cross to the natural man is foolishness. Yet to those who believe, it is the wisdom and the power of God. But you reprove a scorner, and he hates you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. To those who are made wise unto salvation, to those whose ears are open and whose eyes are opened and whose understanding is enlightened by God through the gospel, to those who have faith put within, that to those who are made wise and who come to see that wisdom is in Christ alone, that salvation is through him, that the bread and the wine bring life, that his blood cleanses from all sin. To those who are made wise, when you rebuke, when you instruct them, they grow wiser. Preach the gospel to the wise and they become hungrier. They love the gospel. They want more of the gospel. The gospel is life unto life and death unto death. Preach it to a dead man and he hates it and says, I want nothing of it. He grows more dead. He grows more hateful. He grows more rebellious. Unless God opens his mind. Unless God opens his understanding. Unless God uses that gospel to break him. And to shine the light into the darkness of his heart. But if he remains in darkness, he grows darker, colder, harder. The gospel is life unto life and death unto death. Is it death unto your death, or is it life unto the life that God has started, has kindled, has placed within your once dark and dead heart? Instruct a wise man and he will grow wiser. He will increase in learning. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me, God says, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Are you wise or do you scorn? Are you wise or are you a fool? Has God opened your eyes or has he left you in the darkness? Is there any fear of the Lord within your heart? Because if there is, that's the beginning of wisdom. And if there isn't, it's because you're in the darkness, you're blind, you're cold, you're dead, you're a fool. Where do you stand? If there's any wisdom in your heart, it's because God has come with his gospel and spoken, and there's life has entered in and it's begun to grow, and you've begun to see and you've begun to fear the Lord. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The psalmist picks up the same theme in Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He says in that psalm, as one who knows God, as one who knows the fear of the Lord, as one who was once a fool, once blind, once dark, once dead, but now who lives, he writes the psalm with these words, as one who lives, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast for ever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Oh, what wisdom there is in this psalmist's words. He praises God because he knows the wondrous works of God, the wondrous works of God in salvation. There he was in the darkness. There he was a fool. There he was once a scorner. He mocked and he scoffed like the foolish man, but the gospel came unto him. Wisdom built her house. The church, the bride, came unto him with the gospel, preaching the gospel, and God, through his church, made this sinner to see. And what he saw was the wondrous works of God, the works of his hands, the commandments of his God, which stood sure, which stood fast forever and ever. What he saw was that God sent redemption unto his people, and that God commanded his covenant forever. He saw a God that saw him in the darkness. And whilst he was in the darkness, whilst he was afar off, whilst he was indulging in sin, whilst he was eating and drinking and being merry, whilst he, like the prodigal son, was wasting all of his means on the pleasures of this world, far off from God, seeking his own glory and his own pleasure, hating God whilst he was there. God sent redemption. Whilst he was in the darkness, God looked upon him, a hateful sinner, and said in his covenant, "He's mine. I know he hates me. I know he's full of spite and hatred and rejection. I know he has no time for me and my ways, but he's mine and I love him. I love this man, though he hates me. I love this sinner, though he has no time for me or my ways. And I'm going to save him. I'm going to redeem him. I'm going to set him free. Not because he's asked for it, not because he's earned it, not because he deserves it, but because I love him. I will set him free. I will deliver him." So God sent redemption unto this man, unto his people, when they hated him. And he sent his son into this darkness, evil world. And the people in this world took his son, and they rejected his son, and they laughed at his son, and they mocked his son, and wisdom came into this world full of foolishness. Wisdom walked amongst men. Wisdom spake, and man rejected it. Man rejected him. Man rejected the truth of God, the righteousness of God, the wisdom of God. He didn't want to know. And man in his wisdom, man in man's wisdom, saw God's son, laughed at him, spat upon him, rejected him, and said, "Away with this man. We will not have him to reign over us. Crucify him, crucify him." The man in his great wisdom, as he does today, rejected the very one who could save him, rejected the very Son of God who is wisdom himself. He rejected him and he put him to death. Mankind put him to death. Man took God's Son and had him slain. Or so he thought. Power wasn't in man's hand to slay God's Son. God's Son laid down his own life. But he allowed wicked men to take him and allowed wicked men to nail the nails through his hands, to nail him to that cross. He allowed wicked men to lift him up in the midday sun. And in the darkness, in the heat of the sun, he suffered. And in the darkness, as the light of the sun was taken away, he suffered as he bore the sins of that people, bore the sins of his people upon the cross, bore the sins of those who nailed him to the cross, bore the sins of those who pierced him, bore the sins of those who hated him. In the darkness he suffered. And God looked upon his son, and because he bore their sins, he judged his own son and slew his own son. And his own son died as though he was the sinner, when he was the wisdom and the righteousness and the truth of God. He didn't deserve to die, they did. He didn't deserve to die, the psalmist here did. He didn't deserve to die, Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, did. And yet it was Christ who died. And because he died, and because the psalmist saw that he died for him, he saw the love and the grace and the mercy of God. He saw the covenant of God, that which set God's love upon him when he was yet hating God. He saw the redemption of God that set him free. He saw how God paid a price to deliver him, to set him free, to deliver him from his sins. He sent redemption unto his people. He have commanded his covenant forever. Holy and revered is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This once foolish man was now made wise unto salvation. And what made him wise? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Why is there so little wisdom in this world? Why is mankind so foolish? Because there is so little fear of the Lord. So little fear of the Lord in every sense of and meaning of that word. Men do not revere the God who they should worship. There is no reverential fear. There is no respect. There is no love. There is no worship of the Creator who created them and sustains them, the one who deserves mankind's worship. The psalmist writes, "Holy and reverent is his name," and yet man doesn't regard him. Man doesn't regard God. Man doesn't treat his name as reverent. Man doesn't revere him. He doesn't respect him. He doesn't worship him. He goes another way. He turns his back on God. He acts like God isn't there. He acts like he can do what he likes and God won't see. There's no fear of God. But there's no fear of the Lord in terms of what the Lord will do unto wicked men. They go in their wicked ways. You go in your wicked ways. You go in your sinful ways. You wander around in the darkness, seeking your own pleasure, seeking your own riches, seeking your own way. You go in your own path because you just don't think that God will find out. You don't care that God will judge you. You live like there's no judgment. You live like there's no end of this world. You live like you're immortal. Though all around you, every day, you hear of those who die. You see those who die. Though all around you, people are passing from this world into the next. And all around you, the evidence of life is so short. And all around you, there's such tragedy and such sorrow. You don't think where they're going. You don't care that each one that leaves this world goes to stand before a holy God. You don't consider that they must give an account unto this God. And if they've spent their life in sin, if they haven't worshipped him, if they've gone their own way, if they've rejected him, if in their hearts they pierced the Son of God and took the nails and hammered them into his hands and jeered and spat upon him as he suffered in the midday sun, if that is what men do, then they will have to give an account. And a holy and a righteous God will hold them accountable for what they've done. He'll hold you accountable for what you've done. Your life is but a vapor. You're born, you live, you die. One day soon, you will stand before this God. And do you fear that day? Is there any fear of the Lord in your heart? Is there any fear of him in the sense of worshipping and of revering him, of knowing that he's awe-inspiring? Is there any fear of what he will do and command regarding you when you stand before him as a wretched, evil sinner who cared not for him all the days of your life, who went off with all that he gave you, using it for your own gain and pleasure and not for his service and worship? Is there any fear? There is so little wisdom in this world. There is so little wisdom in your own heart. There's so much foolishness because there's so little fear of the Lord in every sense of the word. In chapter 8 of Proverbs, we read that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If there's any wisdom in your heart, it will be that you've grown, you've been brought to know who God is, to know who you are before him, to know that you're a sinner before him, and to know that sin is terrible. And you will hate it. When God grants you some wisdom, you'll begin to hate evil and love righteousness. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. But do you see that in the world around you? Do you see that today? Do you see that in your own heart? This world loves evil, doesn't it? Your own heart by nature loves evil, doesn't it? It kindles it. It nurtures it. It bows down at its feet and worships it. It goes this way, not God's way. It goes your way, not God's way. This world and your heart by nature loves evil because there's no fear of the Lord in this world, in the hearts of the natural man, or in your natural heart. And there's no wisdom. There's no fear of the judgment or the wrath to come. Mankind eats, drinks, and is merry. It says, life is short, let us live it to the full. It does all it can to have as much fun as it can here below, as though there's nothing beyond the grave. And some who find this world full of sorrow will even resort to taking their own life to end their sorrow, thinking foolishly that there's nothing beyond the grave, that that will put them into an endless sleep, that that will take away the sorrow and the travail and give them peace. When the reality is that they plunge themselves into eternal torment from where there is no escape. Oh, the folly of those who take their own life. The folly of those who've not sought God. The folly of those who have no wisdom because they have no fear of the Lord. The world has no fear of judgment and the wrath to come, yet it is coming. There is judgment every day in this world. God, as it were, claps the thunders here and there, as a warning to mankind that judgment's coming. Every day there's a storm here, an earthquake there, a disaster there. As God says unto this world, I am God, and you must stand before me. And your life is finite, and I am all powerful, and I will do what I will. Seek the Lord whilst you are young. There is a judgment coming. The clouds are getting thicker, as in the days of Noah. The clouds are gathering. Time is short, and yet mankind has no fear, because he buries his head in the sand. He turns the other way. He goes into his houses and doesn't look up. He doesn't look up to the heavens. He doesn't look up to the skies. He goes into his houses and he sits in the darkness of his house, eating, drinking, being merry. And yet judgment's coming. He has no fear. Are you the fool who thinks he lives forever? Are you the fool that feeds upon the pleasures of this world, as though there is no God? The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. Because in his heart he has no fear. No fear of God, no fear of judgment. He's so cut off, so dark. There's so little light. There's so little understanding. He's so blind and he's so deaf. God's left him to himself. When the church comes with the gospel, when the woman, the bride of Christ, cries, when wisdom speaks, then wisdom is sounded. And do you hear? Oh, may God be pleased to open your ears and open your mind that you might hear wisdom crying, and that he might begin to put some fear within your heart. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, will you not know? Will you not be brought to see that there is judgment to come? And there is a God before whom you're accountable. You must stand before him. Oh, be wise. Don't play the fool. Look and behold the redemption that this God sent. He sent redemption unto his people. He have commanded his covenant forever. He sent salvation. And yet you despise it, you reject it, you run away. You care not for it. You have no fear of the wrath to come. And you have no fear of this God. You don't know him. You don't know him. When God begins to put some wisdom into man's heart, he begins to sound the alarm. The alarm of judgment to come. The alarm of the consequences of sin. The alarm of the state you find yourself in. And the first evidence of wisdom in a man's heart is that he begins to fear the judgment. This fear is terror. The sinner fears God with terror. He begins to quake. He begins to realize that he's a sinner. The Spirit of God comes and convicts and shows him what he is. He shows him how holy God is and how wretched and wicked man is. And he begins to quake and he begins to realize that he's finite, that he's small, that his life is brief, and that he's got no answer for his sin. That soon he will stand before this God. And he's got no answer. And he knows that God's going to judge him. He knows God's going to find him wanting. He knows he's going to be plunged into hell. Is that you? Has God begun to shake you over the coals? Has he begun to sound an alarm? Has he begun to say, I am God, and you must stand before me. What hast thou done? As God, as it were, come into the Garden of Eden, where you wicked sinner have fallen into sin, where you've eaten of the tree that he said you should not eat. You know you shouldn't be eating here. You know you shouldn't be doing this. You know you shouldn't be going there. And yet you have. You turn from God. You turn from what you knew you shouldn't do. And you would go this way. You would do these things. And God comes walking in the garden. Like he came walking in the garden where Adam and Eve were. And they knew they were guilty. And they tried to make fig leaf clothings to cover up their nakedness. To try to hide what they were and hide what they did. Are you trying to hide from God? Are you trying to cover up what you are? Are you trying to cover up what you've done? Is he walking through the garden, calling out your name? Are you beginning to hear God saying unto you in your soul, what hast thou done? If you do, the fear that wisdom has begun in your heart will be a fear of terror. You will know that before this God you will be judged. There's no escape, you've no answer, you're guilty. It's a fear of terror. But the fear of God doesn't remain there. As God speaks through his gospel, as the bride declares the gospel of Christ, she begins to speak of his redemption. She speaks of the cross. She says there's judgment. But there's judgment which came down upon another. This God that you fear, this God that could send you to hell, this God before whom you're guilty, took his wrath and took his judgment and laid it upon his Son. That those who believe on the Son should not perish. Wisdom begins to declare that there's an escape, there's salvation, there's hope. You might not perish. You might not be sent to hell. You might not be condemned. Perhaps Christ died for your sins. Perhaps the judgment of God fell down upon another. Perhaps the price has already been paid. And as God teaches through his gospel and puts faith in the heart, he leads the convicted sinner. And he says, you're not going to be judged. Yes, you deserve it. Yes, you earned it. but I've already judged my son for your sins. I've already paid the price that your sins demanded must be paid. I've already paid a redemption price that would set you free. I've already paid your ransom price that you might go free. I've paid the price, O sinner. My son loved you. When you were over there, indulging in your sin, when you hated him, when you hated me, when you cared not for my ways and my things, he loved you. And he bore your sins, and he paid the price. And God says unto the sinner, full of fear, full of dread, fear no more. Fear no more. Thy sins are forgiven thee. They've already been paid. The price has already been paid. I've washed you clean. You can go free. I've washed you clean. I've set you at liberty. Here's my gospel. Here's my news. It's great news. It's salvation. I've set you at liberty. And when such a one hears such a message, the fear that began as wisdom opened his mind, the fear that began as terror turns into fear of awe and wonder, a fear of worship and love. He's heard God. He's heard his message. He's heard his salvation. He's heard his gospel. And he comes to know God. And the fear of the Lord that he now has is that fear, that reverential fear, that love, that awe and wonder that this great God who made him and sustained him also saved him. Also paid the price for his sins. Also washed his sins away in blood. He comes to see the banquet that the woman, the wisdom of God in the church, has prepared for him. He comes to see the bread broken for him. He comes to see the wine brought forth for him. He sees the blood shed that washes him clean. He hears God in the gospel. He comes to know God. And he loves God. And he fears him as God. Because he's been made wise unto salvation. You see, there's no wisdom in man until he begins to hear and to know God. Have you heard God speak to you in the gospel? Do you know this God? Do you fear this God? Do you know his wisdom? The wisdom of man, your wisdom by nature, rejects God. The gospel, the cross, is foolishness to you. It's foolishness. It's the defeat of God in your eyes. You see the message, you hear the message of Christ and the cross, and you say, why did God's son die? Where's the victory in that? God sent his son and man crucified him. He died. Why did Jesus die? How is that a great ruler of a great religion? How is that a great leader of a great religion when he died? And you laugh at it and you scoff at it and say, how can there be hope in that? And yet when the gospel comes to you in power, when God preaches that message to you and shows you what his death accomplished, that which you thought was weakness, that which you thought was failure, that which you thought was the end, you discover is actually power and victory and the beginning of life. It's no failure. It's a victory. Christ died that his people through him might live, that those who were once dead might live. He died that he might deliver them from their sins. He died that he should take their sins away. He died that sin should be no more. He died that death should be conquered. He died that hell should be conquered. He died to bring salvation. And as he died, his people died with him. And when he died, he was laid in the grave. And sin was no more, and righteousness was manifested. And on the third day, he and they rose again. Rose again victorious, rose again triumphant, rose again in righteousness, rose again in peace, rose again in wisdom. The wisdom of God is Christ. And you see it in his redemptive work. He sent redemption unto his people. He have commanded his covenant forever. Far from being the end, this is the beginning. This is the beginning. This is where life is to be found. This is where life is to be found. You say, oh, eat, drink, live. Live your life to the full when really you're dying. And how brief are the lives of these that waste their time in such a way that here one moment and they're gone and they're dead. But will you live? Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Are you the fool who dies, who's dead? Or will you forsake the foolish and live? Has God made you wise? Does the gospel make you wiser? Has God made you just, righteous through his Son? Does the gospel increase your understanding? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me, God says, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. For by me, thy days shall be multiplied. Where do you stand before this God? Do you run with the foolish unto destruction? Or has God, through his gospel, begun to make you wise? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen.